Happy Europe Day, everyone. Welcome to the Foreign Policy Talks Europe Day special episode. For this interview, we'll bring to you the candid and exclusive conversation with the ambassadors of the European Union member countries. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, the listeners of Foreign Policy Talks podcast. Thank you so much for being the loyal listeners of this platform. We've been talking about a lot of things, right? From Ukraine and Russia war, from the geopolitical competition between US and China, and Indonesia's relationships with major powers. But today, I'd like to bring you a very interesting topic and, of course, a very prominent guest. He's Ambassador Dan Adrian Balanescu, Ambassador of Romania to Indonesia. Before I give him a lot of tough and important questions, let me greet him. Hi, how are you doing, Ambassador Dan?
Good morning. Nice to meet you. Very well, thank you. Looking forward to this discussion.
Right. Thank you so much, Ambassador. But first of all, happy Europe Day, Ambassador.
Thank you.
Yes, and of course, this Europe Day is celebrated in the
middle. If I may cut in, actually, today is Netherlands Day. Day of Netherlands, yes. You know very well, the European Day, Europe Day is on the 9th of May, but it just happens that we have this discussion on the Netherlands National Day.
Right.
Awesome. Just as an information for the listeners.
Of course, thank you so much. Appreciate that. And of course, we celebrate this in the midst of a lot of problems, right, Ambassador? One of them is in the midst of the Ukraine crisis, but I will get back to you on that later. But we wish you to be healthy, Ambassador. But my first question to start our conversation is that, how does Romania embody the value of Europe Day commemoration to its national principle and maybe also your foreign engagement?
Yes, maybe I will start with a few words about Europe Day. As I said just now, as it is known, Europe Day dates back to 9th of May 1950, actually, when the Schuman Declaration regarding the creation of the European Coal and Steel Community was made, you know, by the French foreign minister at that time, which was Robert Schuman. And actually, this community of steel and coal was meant to avoid a new war in Europe. It was just after the Second World War between the two main European opponents, and they were France and Germany. So it started with a community of coal and steel between these two important European countries, France and Germany. And actually, the goal was achieved because we haven't had any war in Europe between France and Germany, and now it is almost impossible to imagine such a conflict. So it was successful, this project. But of course, things developed. The coal and steel community transformed in what is now European Union, and it enlarged. It became a political union. The membership highly enlarged. And today, if we come to this Europe Day celebration, of course, it symbolizes the values of European Union. And these values are respect for human dignity, freedom, democracy, equality, rule of law, and respect for human rights. And of course, all these values are assumed by all member countries, including Romania, and we have also put them these values in our constitution. So this is what Europe Day is about celebrating the values, the principle that the European Union stands for. And people in Romania, they understand that. It's a public holiday in Romania. People are celebrating. But of course, as you mentioned, then maybe we will talk a little bit later. This year is not a very happy celebration because of the war going on in Ukraine just next to our borders.
Right. Yes, that's really true, Ambassador. And thank you so much for sharing how do you your flag or divine the celebration of Europe Day in your country. But moving on to Romania and Indonesian relationships, Ambassador, I'm sure the listeners want to know more about that. And just want to pick one important aspect of interstate cooperation, which is on climate action or climate efforts, Ambassador. What I found is that Romania has an ambitious plan or target to phase out coal by 2023 with strong support from the European Commission, right, Ambassador? And recently, I found that it's just approved a nearly about 30 billion euro recovery and resilience plan. So I think Indonesia has the same vision, right, Ambassador? We want to move our energies to be more sustainable, right, with many indigenous transition efforts and also regulation that has been passed recently. But what are the key factors in pushing a stronger Romania-Indonesian cooperation in this sector, Ambassador?
Right. So indeed, we are very committed to these climate change goals, especially through what is called in Romania the Integrated National Plan for Energy and Climate Change. And this is for the period between 2021 and 2030. And its goal is to reduce ETS emissions with 43.9% by 2030, and also to increase the content of renewable energy in our final consumption by 30.7%. And actually, this represents Romania's contribution to meet the climate targets set by the EU by 2030. And these targets, as you may know, are the reduction by 55% of the greenhouse gases and the increase of renewable energy by 32%. In Romania, natural gas represents 30% of the domestic energy consumption. Romania has set a target of phasing out coal-fired power by 2032. So not 2023, but 2032. Still, coal now is the primary energy source in our energy mix. And we have defined it in our securing energy security as a strategic fuel. So for Romania, at least now, coal is a strategic fuel. And the resilience of energy usage is based on coal. And actually, if we have to come back again to this conflict, because now with the conflict in Ukraine, we cannot hide that coal has become even more important. You know, there is we have threats from Russia to cut the supplies of gas. They announced that they will cut it for Poland and Bulgaria. So it is clear that not only Romania, but other EU members, I mentioned Poland, but also Germany, now somehow place a certain importance on coal. This does not mean that we'll not continue with our energy transition, which is very, very important. And coming now to Indonesia, of course, I'm following its policy. And I noticed that Indonesia has quite ambitious goals in the energy transition. And we, meaning Romania and European Union, we are very much supporting them. Actually, we are ready to cooperate with Indonesia, for example, in building solar or wind energy power plants, in which Romania has some expertise. So there is room for cooperation, indeed, between our countries.
Right. So it seems that there are a lot of things have been achieved, right, Ambassador, but there are still more doors to open for further cooperation between Romania and Indonesia in terms of energy transition. I'd like to touch a bit on economic recovery, Ambassador. What I know, and you can also clarify, that Romania views Indonesia's potential to be the gateway for Romanian products in the Southeast Asian region, right? Given to its huge consumption, given to its big population. But likewise, Indonesia sees Romania as a strategic entry point also for Indonesian commodities into the European Union, apart from many other countries. But what's your reflection on this and how to strengthen trade and economic partnership further with Romania in the case of Indonesia?
Indeed, the potential for our bilateral economic cooperation is very high. Even though now the level of bilateral trade is not maybe impressive, and actually we have a deficit with Indonesia in our trade, meaning Indonesia exports more than it imports from Romania. And we as an embassy place quite a big importance on this field of bilateral cooperation. And I can tell you we have recently organized a business webinar addressed to Indonesian companies to present the Romanian economic offer. And this webinar enjoyed a very good participation. We have almost 300 Indonesian companies attending and making offers and asking questions. So it was quite successful. And there are currently, after this webinar, Indonesian companies that want to invest in Romania, and we are discussing with them now. Some are in the construction field, for example. You mentioned the gateway, and indeed, now with the war in Ukraine, the Romanian port of Constanța has become even more important for Indonesian importers and exporters, because it is not only the biggest Romanian port, but also it is the only port through which Ukraine can export and import products. And I know Ukraine was an important trade partner with Indonesia. For example, Indonesia imported cereals from Ukraine. Now the only possibility is Constanța port, our port at the Black Sea.
To Romania, yeah.
Yeah. So we invite Indonesian companies to use it, to use Constanța port as a gateway to Central and Eastern Europe. But of course, we also in Romania are promoting Indonesia as a gateway for our products to Southeastern Asia because of its strategic location, because of its big market, its potential, and so on. Now the bilateral free trade agreement negotiations are going on between Indonesia and the European Union. And as soon as it will be adopted, the possibilities of trade will increase exponentially, both between European Union and Indonesia and between Indonesia and Romania, just like the other member states, because the tariffs will decrease significantly. So we are looking forward for this SEPA, how it is called, agreement to be concluded, because it will boost quite significantly our bilateral trade.
Right, impressive, Ambassador. I think the potential is not only for large businesses, right, Ambassador? So, I mean, the listeners, you are having small businesses, right, medium businesses who are interested to explore the eastern part of Europe. I think Romania is one of the potential, right, Ambassador? So there's so many things to explore for you who are entrepreneurs, for example, in Indonesia or many parts of the world. But another aspect is about post-COVID tourism, Ambassador. Right, Romania and Indonesia have authentic and remarkable natural attraction, and I cannot imagine how beautiful they are. But it's of course still a challenging time for both states to recover its tourism sector. What's the plan bilaterally between Romania and Indonesia to push further tourism cooperation, Ambassador?
Well, you're right. Actually, Romania and Indonesia are tourist countries. because they are very beautiful countries and they both have a great potential for tourism. And while Indonesia and especially Bali, to be frank, is well known in Romania, because we had tens of thousands of Romanian tourists coming every year in Indonesia before the pandemic, Romania is yet to be discovered by Indonesians. And this is, of course, one of the one job of my embassy, to promote Romania as a tourist destination for Indonesians. And I have used my public interventions, just like this one, to also promote our touristic attraction in Romania. Also, we plan here at the embassy to organize visits to Romania of Indonesian officials dealing with tourism, in order to discuss ways of increasing our tourist exchanges, especially now that the pandemics receded in both countries. Now we don't have restrictions. Indonesia has lifted its quarantine obligations. The same is in Romania, no quarantine obligations. So the situation is now much better. We are also currently making lobby to the Indonesian officials to include Romania among the countries granted visa on arrival. You know, there is a list with the number of countries. Romania is still not on that list, but we hope that it will happen very soon, maybe at the beginning of next month. It will be very, very good for our tourists. There are other activities that we do. For example, we are trying to conclude a partnership between the province of Bali and the Romanian county of Argeș, which is a very beautiful region with mountains. And this partnership will include also tourist exchanges. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, if you allow me, I will use this opportunity to invite Indonesian tourists to visit Romania, to see our attractions, such as the famous Dracula Castle. So if you want to meet Dracula, come to Romania. It is called also Bran Castle. It's in Transylvania. Also to visit our mountain resorts, like the famous Royal City of Sinaia, or the Danube Delta villages, or our spas. Romania has quite famous spas. Or let's say our beautiful Transylvanian villages, and many, many more. So please come to Romania and you will enjoy it.
Awesome. I think we are going to have a summer holiday and somewhere in Romania after this, right, Ambassador? But we have a very important issue to be discussed after this, Ambassador, which is the conflict between Ukraine and Russia, or attack of Russia to Ukraine. And I saw that Romania, of course, has been very active in voicing out that stances about Ukraine. And how does Romania is actually see this crisis? And in what ways do you think that this conflict should be ended, Ambassador?
Well, indeed, this is the currently the main threat to the European security. This conflict in Ukraine, which was triggered by Russia's unprovoked aggression. So there is no doubt about that. Maybe you saw the visit of the UN Secretary General in Moscow, maybe yesterday, very recently, and he said very clearly, there are Russian tanks in Ukraine and no Ukrainian tanks in Russia. So the situation is clear. Romania, of course, it's a neighboring country to Ukraine, and we are very worried. We are very worried of what is happening. We are a strong supporter of Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, as Indonesia. Indonesia also voiced its support for these principles of sovereignty and the territorial integrity, which I believe they stay at the basis of the international community, the basis of the UN. And yes, we are helping Ukraine in this very difficult period in many ways. especially based on our EU and NATO membership. You may know that we have so far received almost 1 million Ukrainian refugees so far. And unfortunately, we expect even more because the hostilities are continuing. To look for the solution, we have to know who is responsible. And Russia is the only responsible for the crisis. And Romania, just like other countries, like Indonesia also, have made many appeals for the conflict to stop, to go back to negotiations, go back to discussions. And we made this appeal at a national level, but also within international organizations. You know, there were some resolutions which both Romania and Indonesia voted in UN General Assembly in March, which say very clearly that this aggression should stop. And where is the solution? The solution of the crisis lays with Russia. They can anytime withdraw from Ukraine. No one stops them. So this is what we ask. They should stop immediately their aggression and withdraw from Ukraine. It is as simple as that.
Right, right. Thank you so much for sharing your stance, Ambassador. And I think it's apart from its political crisis, I think there's a humanitarian crisis out of it, right? There are millions and Ukrainian that are impacted because of this. And you share that Romania has helped about 1 million Ukrainian refugees, right, so far. And as you know, right, the crisis is not only affecting Europe, it's also affecting other parts of the globe. And of course, one of the most debated topic in Indonesia today is, you know, how this crisis is affecting the state and success of G20 Indonesian presidency. We have an honor mission to lead the G20 this year with three key priorities, right? As you know, health, energy transition, and digitalization. But how do you think the success of G20 should be done, Ambassador? And what do you expect of in G20 Indonesian leaderships, basically?
Yeah. You know, Romania is not a member of the G20 as such, but the European Union is a member, and we participate through the European Union to the G20. We are very much aware of Indonesian chairmanship goals. They are very important goals for the post-COVID recovery, and we fully support them. So we stand by Indonesia to fulfill its goals. Indonesia is very ambitious as a chairman. We saw that the organization of the meetings is very good. So I think the basis for success are there. And we believe Indonesia is even a model to follow in the goals of its chairmanship. And this gives her a strong sense of leadership. Indonesia is now a leader of the G20, not only because it's the has the chairmanship, but also because of what it stands for. But still, you mentioned this Ukrainian conflict, and I think it cannot be denied that the Russian aggression also has disturbed the functioning of the G20. We saw the discussions, and Indonesia has a huge task to apply the most correct principles as a chair of G20. It is not easy, we know, but she has already voiced its support for the principles of sovereignty and territorial integrity. And I think the basis for a decision is there in these principles.
Right, impressive. And Ambassador, we've talked a lot of heavy topics. I mean, they're important, but let's just relax a bit. And I think this question, I give it to all ambassadors that I've interviewed, and they said this is the most difficult one. But to begin, to start the question, let me ask you, how long have you been posted here in Indonesia, Ambassador?
Maybe 1 year and a half, something like that.
1.5 years, and I'm sure you've been around Indonesia, right? Going to some other provinces, right? And my question is, would you be able to pick like one or two your most favorite places or areas around Indonesia that you've visited so far?
Yeah, so to tell you the truth, I haven't got the chance to travel a lot in Indonesia. And this was because mostly of the pandemic.
Yeah.
The pandemic was a hindrance. But still, of course, I was in Bali several times, also because many meetings are in Bali. And so far, this is my favorite place in Indonesia. I also traveled around Jakarta in places like Bogor or Puncak, which are very nice. Even I noticed the temperatures drop below 20 degrees in Puncak, which is very good for a change. And I also traveled to South Sulawesi this year, where I participated in the National Press Day, which was interesting for me to see other regions. And why not? I also like the area where I live in Jakarta, and this is near the Pondok Indah Mall. Oh. And it's quite a quiet and green area. As far as my plans are for the future, now that the pandemic, as I mentioned, receded, well, I heard, for example, many good things about Lake Toba, and my plan is to go there next. Also, Lombok and Labuan Bajo are other targets for me, together with the East Kalimantan, where the new capital, Nusantara, will be built. And I am very interested to see this place, even though probably I will not see the day when our embassy will move to Kalimantan, because there is still a long way. But for sure, this is a extremely important topic for Indonesia and also for embassies here. So that's about my plan for visiting for the next period.
Well, can't wait to hear your stories about those places that you will be visiting. But thank you so much, Ambassador Dan, for your stories, for your thoughts and knowledge about Romania-Indonesian relationships, and about your thoughts about Ukraine-Russia war. And we appreciate that. And I hope the listeners will understand more about that. And please stay safe, Ambassador.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening all the way to the end. Follow Foreign Policy Talks on Instagram at Foreign Policy Talks to keep updated. Feel free to comment your thoughts on this Europe Day special episode on our Instagram. And don't forget to check the quiz that we're going to have, especially for the celebration of peace and unity in this Europe Day. Thank you, and stay tuned for the next episode.